In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for ruining my Christmas. That's what a student in my confirmation class said to me years ago, and he was most sincere in what he said. He really meant it. It was not my intention to ruin his Christmas. I hadn't told Santa he was naughty. I didn't eat the last Christmas sugar cookie. I didn't give him an ugly Christmas sweater as a present. What had I said or done to ruin his Christmas? I'll tell you later in the sermon, but let me assure you that he did not become an atheist or a serial killer. He is a happy, successful, well-adjusted adult today. Would you agree with me, though, that there are a lot of Grinches out there who do intend to ruin our Christmas? Every year at Christmas time, we hear things in the media about how Jesus was not born on December 25th, how there was no astronomical evidence for the star of Bethlehem, and that the shepherds would not have been out in the fields at that time of year, among other criticisms. Some people think that Christians have a persecution complex and that we blow the war on Christmas out of proportion. Now, true, it's not like the times of the Roman Emperor Nero's war on Christian centuries ago, when a Christian being fed to the lions was a real possibility. But any discrimination against our freedom of religious experience, expression is just plain wrong. I sort of wrestled in my mind with the opening sentence of my sermon, "Thank you for ruining my Christmas." Was that appropriate for a Christmas message? But a few years ago, I saw an article in the Lutheran Witness, that's the national magazine of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It was written by a seminary professor, and it was titled, "When Jesus Ruins Christmas." Now, hey, if Jesus, the Son of God, can ruin Christmas, ruining Christmas should be a slam dunk for a common sinner like me. Jesus ruining Christmas. How can that be? After all, Jesus is the reason for the season. What the author was getting at was how when we take a serious look at the religious, spiritual meaning of Christmas, it makes all the other cultural trappings just seem so unimportant. There is nothing wrong with singing songs about snow and one-horse open sleighs. It's no sin to read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. You can even drink eggnog if you don't care about your taste buds and your cholesterol levels. But those things pale in comparison to singing Christian Christmas carols. Nothing compares to reading the real Christmas story, the one with Joseph and Mary and the baby in the manger. And a turkey dinner is just great, but here in worship, you can eat the bread of heaven and drink from the cup of salvation. Therein lies the real meaning of Christmas that all of those TV movies try to find but miss. God is loving his people so much that he becomes one of them. That is Christmas. God becomes man to communicate his inexhaustible grace and offer us the gift of eternal life with him. Christmas is Jesus taking the first necessary step toward the cross where he would die that our sins might be forgiven. That's what Christmas is all about. Now, let me set the context for the comment that the student made to me, "Thank you for ruining my Christmas." It was nearly Christmas, and we were discussing the story of Jesus' birth. There was a nativity scene, a creche in the classroom, like a smaller version of the one we have out in the lounge here at the church. And I pointed out that some of the things in the traditional manger scene might not be 100% biblically accurate. For instance, the angel met the shepherds in the field. There are no mentions made of angels being at the stable. The shepherds and the wise men probably never met one another. The shepherds found baby Jesus in the stable the night he was born, and the wise men showed up sometimes later, days, weeks, maybe months later, and found Jesus in a house in Bethlehem. And I could go on and on about what animals were or weren't in the stable and so on. He felt that I had exploded what he always thought of as the first Christmas, and I guess in a sense I did, but that doesn't really ruin Christmas, does it? I have a manger scene in my home, and yes, it has an angel, it has shepherds, it has wise men, they're all there at the same time. There's also a little toy duck, and that's another story. I look at that, and I feel secure that I have not insulted the Bible's integrity or trampled on the biblical truth. The details of the story can be illuminating, but more important is what it all means. Having shepherds and wise men, Jesus' first Jewish and his first Gentile worshipers in the same scene, in no way detracts from Christ being the light of the world and our Savior. In fact, I think it may add, we recognize that our Savior's birth is going to provoke powerful emotions and gather around it time-honored traditions. There's nothing wrong with that. Used correctly, these can actually deepen and embellish our understanding of our Lord's nativity and enhance our celebration of Christmas. I want more Christmas, not less. And I'm sure you do too. We're not Scrooges trying to poke holes in the Christian faith at this time of year. We want Christmas with all of its truth and all of its glory. But the joy and meaning of Christmas can sometimes get lost in sentimentality and the repetition of doing things that have lost their connection to what Christmas is about. The real story of Jesus' birth and what Christ's incarnation means to us is more profound, more beautiful, more exciting than any fiction that could ever be added to it. Christmas is the mystery and the marvel of God with us. It is the wonder of God's love for unworthy human beings. It's the starting point of our story of salvation as the Son of God takes on human flesh so that he can die and rise again for our salvation. So come, let us adore him. Amen.